God is good all the time. I'm Dave Householder, blessed to be your Bible teacher. Take your Bibles out and turn to Deuteronomy 5, verse 18. There's Bibles there in each of the aisles. And we're going to go deep into the Word of God. We're doing the Ten Commandments, and we're not doing the normal Sunday school version. We're going deep into the Word of God. Folks, this passage is 34 centuries old, and a lot has happened since then. You can tell, who here had Shakespeare in high school? You had to read Shakespeare. That was challenging. It's challenging to read Shakespeare because it's 500 years old. This is 3,400 years old. And so if we want to get at what this word really says, we have to be pretty serious about this. It's kind of like a hunting trip or a mining expedition, going after God's original intention when he wrote the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are marvelous. This is a PG-13. So if any of you are under 13, mentally or physically, it's probably not a good idea to listen to this, because we're going to be talking about something which has adult content. The Bible has adult content. The Bible is not really G-rated. There's all kinds of violence and sex and crazy stuff going on, especially the Old Testament. So we definitely would like to go deep into this, go after this passage. This is the seventh word. In the original Hebrew, it's not called the Ten Commandments. It's called the Ten Words. The Ten Words. And this is the seventh one. It's all about protecting the family. The Decalogue, the Ten Words, protecting the family. And why are the Ten Commandments so important? Well, here's why the Ten Commandments are so important. The world out there is chaotic. There's a lot of craziness out there. The stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. We're friends with this country, we're enemies with that country. It's just one thing after another. Even keeping up with what's going on at work, what's happening, there is so much noise out there right now. I remember growing up in Idaho, where I actually grew up with a stimulation deficit. There was nothing happening up there. And something would happen, we'd pay attention. Yeah, that was the year the elk walked through town. We remembered that. You know, it was a slower pace. Now we've got things, buzzers going off and beeps going off and notifications of every kind. And there's 500 channels on TV and everything else. And there's an awful lot of opportunity, awful lot of good stuff happening in the world, but also just an awful lot of chaos. Wendy likes to watch certain TV shows, and I have to limit how many I can watch on Netflix or Hulu, because I start to forget which one was which. I was reading a book the other day, and I was 100 pages into it before I realized I've read this book before. There's so much stimulation out there. There's so much noise. There's so much craziness that we need some structure to be able to interpret what's happening around us, to be able to navigate what's going on. Without some structure, we can't. The truth is, we are very vulnerable. Human beings are vulnerable to all kinds of things. You get out on the freeway and there's all these cars going 75 miles an hour. I was on the 405 recently and everybody was going 80. I'm thinking, what is the speed limit anyways? Millions of cars going 80. John grew up here, so he knows all about the freeways. And there's all this chaos on the freeway. There's all this chaos with media and everything else. And if I go surfing, I'm not even on the top of the food chain. I'm out there and I'm edible. You know, there's sea creatures there that eat people, you know, and you think, wow, this is not exact. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of chaos out there. There's a lot happening. And God gave us these 10 words to give us a structure to be able to interpret what's going on and to narrow down our decisions. Because otherwise, there's just too many options. Who thinks today's kids are having a hard time with too many options? There's so many choices. Folks, when I was growing up, people didn't visit seven colleges to decide which one they were going to go to. It just didn't happen. You thought of one or two, and you went to one of them. That's just how it was. And all the options now with dating, they've got these dating apps, and swipe left, swipe right, all this stuff. Is all of these people out there. It used to be you grew up with a few people, and a few of them you started to date, and you end up marrying one of them. That's how that worked. But now it's just chaotic. So many choices. So we need the Ten Commandments not less, but more than we did before. We need something to narrow down our life so it becomes manageable. And the cool thing about the Ten Commandments is that these are the most tested and true navigational system there is for living. It's the best stuff out there. This is the best navigator that there is altogether, because we're fighting chaos, entropy. Entropy is the tendency of things to fall apart. I like old things. I have a trailer in the desert. I've got a travel trailer from 1965. The trailer in the desert is 1958. I drove here in a 1971 car, and I'm always working on stuff. I'm always looking for the right tool, the right thing to make stuff work, because it's always falling apart. And if you don't take care of your house, what happens? It starts to fall apart. If you don't keep up with your gardening, the plants will start to compost your house. It happens quickly. You ever see those people plant little trees in front of their house, and 30 years later, in every neighborhood, there's one house that you can't see, because they put a bunch of trees in front when they were small, and they just get gigantic. And next thing you know, it's just happening all the time. Entropy is disorder happening all the time. And the truth is, it's happening to our bodies as we get older. As you get older, things don't work as well as when you were 19. And you work hard, you work out, you try to be healthy, you try to do the things you can so that you can stay strong and doing stuff. But it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle to continue to fight entropy. Fighting chaos, entropy, disorder. The book of Jeremiah is all about this. We're reading through the Bible as a church, and the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah telling people things are unraveling. And the reason they're unraveling is because you're not paying attention to the operating system. The operating system is a way of fighting chaos. The Ten Commandments are an antidote to chaos in your life. I guarantee you, if you take these 10 words, these Ten Commandments seriously, and you attend church on a regular basis, which is also an antidote to chaos, on a regular basis, showing up, connecting with people, getting into the Word, working on your prayer life, doing things in a non-chaotic way, your life will start to kind of straighten out a little bit. It won't be perfect. It'll still be hard, but it'll start to straighten out a little bit. And this is why we need these guidelines. These are like rails on the switchbacks going up to Big Bear. These rails help us from going off the road. You want to keep going in the right direction. The book of Jeremiah is all about a culture which was disintegrating and unraveling all around him. And he kept saying, hey, people, let's go back to the operating system. The reason things are falling apart is because we've just opened it up to everything. And you open it up to everything, you can't handle all the decisions. So these are the rules that God gave us to help keep our lives straight. Today is Deuteronomy 5, verse 18, and it's, neither shalt thou commit adultery. We're going to talk about this passage, and this passage definitely helps keep our lives in order. Because sexual behavior outside of publicly committed marriages creates all kinds of issues. Martin Luther King in the 60s was asked if he believed in premarital sex. He says, we have a lot more trouble with premarital sex than we do with premarital chastity. Think about that for a second. We have a lot more trouble with premarital sex than we do with premarital chastity. Your premarital sex has caused all kinds of issues. I'm not going to come down hard on all this stuff. I just want to show you that if we don't follow these things, it creates disorder. And disorder is hard on the family. This is a passage which protects the family. Adultery. This is from that great philosopher, Indigo Montoya, from The Princess Bride. You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. He's the guy that said, my name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. I just love that line. I'm not sure why. But I do not think it means what you think it means. Because this word is 34 centuries old, we have to look at it. If you've, my bus over here, my Volkswagen bus, someone asked me, it's red. What color was it originally? Well, there's lots of colors if you keep taking stuff off. I think there was green in there once, and there was some other stuff under that. But the key here when we study the Bible is to get all the layers of paint off so we can actually see what's down there, to go after stuff. Phil, before the service, was talking about exegesis and eisegesis. It's not Jesus, it's a G. Exegesis, eisegesis. And exegesis is trying to bring out from the word what's there. Eisegesis is coming up with an idea and looking for proof texts to support it. In other words, imposing your view on the Bible. And what we try to do here at the well is exegesis, to bring it out, to bring out what's actually there as best we can, and to put our biases aside. So we go deep into the word, we dive deep together. So that word, what exactly does that word mean? This is the commandment in Hebrew. It goes from right to left. Walo tin af. Walo tin af. Actually, a total of 7 letters. What I love about the Ten Commandments is it's short. Very simple. So short, you can actually memorize them. This is what I like about the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, you could put on one sheet. Right there. If today's politicians put together the Bill of Rights, it'd be 300 pages. Which of you here have ever downloaded an app or software and read the whole thing that shows up before you click the box? Why? We don't do it because it's too, what? Complicated. If you make the rules too complicated, people can't follow them. They have to be simple enough to pay attention. The Bible even says once, make it so simple that a runner can read it while he's running. Keep it simple because then you can remember it and you can apply it. You can't apply what you can't remember. So let's look at this word. Walo tin af. Every Hebrew word has a 3-letter root. So let's dive deep together. We talk about roots and stems. This, the Ten Commandments, was originally written in Hebrew. Hebrew thinking is different than our thinking. Different operating system. Every word has a 3-letter root. Same with Arabic, same with Aramaic. And words have at least 7 stems, just like a plant. Roots and what? Stems. And you can tell by the stem how the word is being used. Roots and stems. So the root here is 3 letters. We go to the next slide here. N-A-F. Na-af. That's the root. The stem is a kal stem. You don't need to know that. Just need to know there's 2 different kinds of stems here, kal and pl, which would be in play. Pl is intensive. Kal is general. This is general. So, also, grammatically, I hate to say it to you men, but this commandment is directed primarily, not entirely, but primarily at men. Because men cause the most trouble in this area. According to biology, we have between, depending on the man, 2 to 100 times the sex drive of women. And that's just a fact. 2 to 100 times. Why did God give men such a sex drive? To continue to procreate society. Folks, if men didn't have a sex drive, they would be afraid of women. I think we would, because women are complicated. You guys are higher beings in a lot of ways. And men, God gave us a desire for women. And he had to make it really strong to overcome our hums and haws. Trust me, when we're asking a girl out for homecoming or whatever in high school, dialing that last number is hard. Because it's scary. It's really scary to talk to girls when you're a guy growing up. And it's tough. And God gave us this attraction for women, which is really strong. I think women can understand men. I don't think men can understand women that well. And so we have to have that drive to push us towards women to form families. We need that. Because truth is, you scare us sometimes. You guys have levels of understanding and things that you have levels of relationships with each other, which are bewildering to us. Absolutely bewildering. And so we have this really strong drive. And basically, what it's saying is, don't even entertain the idea of sex with married women. And not off literally means sex with married women. Don't go have sex with someone else's wife. Now, this doesn't cover all sexual misbehavior. Most of you aren't doing this, so you're thinking, I'm not going to listen to the rest of the sermon because I'm not having sex with someone's wife. But the truth is, this is why Joseph, in the Bible, the Old Testament, Potiphar's wife tried to entice him. And he says, no, this would be horrible. I can't do this. Why? Because this would break the seventh commandment. This would be an outrage for me to do this. I can't do this. Even if she wanted to, I can't do this. This is wrong. Because having sex with someone else's wife, if you think about it, is a sin not only in the greater sense, it's also a sin against her husband. Because a lot of things can happen. She can get pregnant, and another guy could end up raising that kid unbeknownst to the husband. It happens a lot. According to genetics, it happens an awful lot. We've looked at these genetic things now that we've done the genome, and a lot of people are wrong about who their fathers are. I feel bad for the Mormons because they put all this whole stuff together based on people telling the truth about who their parents were. And a lot of it's pretty messy. And that chaos we don't need in our lives. The Ten Commandments are there to keep chaos out of our lives so that we can live normal lives with men and women. We can respect each other as men and women. We can work together as men and women. We can socialize, have friendships with men and women without them being sexualized. And God wants that for us. He wants us to treat each other with respect. So don't even entertain the idea of sex with married women is basically the idea of this passage. Adultery, in this sense, having sex with married women, is not the same as fornication. Fornication is any kind of sexual misbehavior. Any kind of sexual misbehavior. Who thinks there's lots of kinds of that? There's lots of flavors of sexual misbehavior. This is wrong too, but it didn't make the top 10. The top 10 list goes after those things which are really, really destructive of society and of people. And breaking up a family is incredibly destructive of all kinds of things. And a family, folks, we need families to keep the chaos away. We need to have people we do things in life with to keep that from happening. The word for fornication is ZNH, zana, and the Greek word is pornios, from which we get what word? Pornography, from which we get fornication. Fornication, pornography, same root. Basic sexual misbehavior, doing anything that doesn't honor God sexually, thinking or doing. And zana is more oriented towards females, males too, but females primarily in the word sense of it. So adultery can be used for women, mostly men, but women also make having sex with married men. And fornication can be both. But it didn't make the top 10 because what he's really going after here is sex that breaks up families. Do you see where that's the destructive thing here? Sex that breaks up families is terrible because it creates all kinds of problems for the kids. It creates all kinds of problems for future relationships and everything else. Who thinks it would be better if that never happened? It would be a really good thing. It would be a really, really good thing. So this commandment isn't coming down on all kinds of sexual misbehavior. It's coming down mostly on sexual misbehavior that breaks up families. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul says about pornios, or zana, flee from sexual immorality. All kinds of just because the seventh commandment isn't about fornication doesn't mean fornication is good. Paul says flee from all kinds of it. But it's not as destructive as sex that breaks up a family. So we're kind of clear on that part. That's the difference between adultery and fornication. And that's why we need Inigo Montoya to help us out with that. Modern vocabulary, adultery. The word adultery, ad, alter. Alter is to change. Ad alter is to move in the direction of changing, to change someone else's family. When you have sex with a married person, you change their family. You mess up their family dynamics. You create all kinds of problems there. And the best translation, though, is the German translation, which Martin Luther came up with 500 years ago, which is Ehebruch. Ehe is marriage. Bruch is breaking a marriage. And in the German Bible, it says, you shall not Ehebrechen. You shall not break up marriages. And you can break up marriages through non-sexual means. You can do it through gossip. Who thinks mother-in-laws can do that? You can break up a marriage by talking bad about the other person. So Luther looked at it more about marriage than about sex. Breaking up a family is what this is about, according to Luther. And in a way, that gets at it really closely. Don't do things that break up someone's family. It's hard enough to keep a family together if this doesn't happen. So who wants me to make this really simple? Here comes a meme from the distracted boyfriend. This is the Hebrew definition of adultery. Man looks at married woman, and his wife, fiance, or girlfriend is thinking, this is kind of a picture of what it is. Stuff outside of that is still wrong, but it's really just fornication. This is what is forbidden in this passage. Don't do that. Don't have thoughts about people's wives. And Jesus says, you've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Notice he's not talking about women. What's he talking about here? Men, because men have an issue here. Men have an issue with violence and sex. Who commits 90-whatever% of rapes? Men or women? Men. And when sex and violence come together, we're in big trouble. And which person in the Bible had sex and violence come together? King David. King David was one of those people with a rather aggressive drive. And King David with Bathsheba broke both the sixth and the seventh commandment. The sixth commandment, you shall not kill or murder. And the seventh is what? You shall not commit adultery. And he had sex, not just with some woman, but with some man's wife. And he tried to get Uriah, her husband, to have sex with her so that it might be Uriah's kid. So he's adulterating the family, thinking maybe Uriah will raise this kid. I can get out of this problem. But do you see where he was doing something to destroy the family? And he went so far as to have Uriah what? Killed. Because he couldn't fake it. He couldn't make it so the baby would look like it's his. So you have this paragon in the Bible, King David, a man after God's own heart. But what did he do? He broke the sixth and the seventh commandment. Clearly broke them. Don't kill and don't have sex with other people's wives. Don't do this. And King David was right there and he knew better and did it anyway. So we broke word 6 and word 7. So practically, this has never been enforced much in Jewish culture. Why? Because according to Jewish legal customs, you need what? 2 or 3 witnesses to do any of this stuff. You need a couple witnesses to prove anything. You can't just accuse people and punish them for it. What's the problem with sex? Sex is usually what? Private. It's really hard to prove. God forbid if any of you have been through a rape, it's really hard to prove, isn't it? It's hard to, nobody was there. It's hard to show these things. And so even though this made the top 10 list, it was virtually never punished because it's really hard to find out. It's been decriminalized in the West because it's unenforceable. It's almost impossible to enforce this because, once again, there's no what. And we're innocent until proven guilty. You can never be proven guilty. It can go on and on and on. You also sin against the husband. Many raise other men's children. So there's a multiplying of the sin there. The Talmud, the Jewish commentary on the Bible, says one of the 3 sins to avoid at pain of death, along with murder and idolatry. I once had a rabbi tell me, I'd rather have someone believe in no God than more than one God. Believing in more than one God's idolatry leads us to all kinds of chaos. And having other gods was a big problem in Israel, which drew them away from their path, which started to disintegrate their culture. We talk about here one nation under God. I guarantee you, if that gets taken off the money, there will be more chaos. I'm not saying we all follow it. I'm just saying those things keep us from craziness. That's why it's on there.
to have a higher power, a higher principle. You can't do a 12-step group without a higher power. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't function. We need focus for those things. One of the three sins to avoid at pain of death: murder, idolatry, and adultery. Why? Why is this so important? Because the truth is, for humans to flourish, for humans to thrive, we need lots of healthy, non-sexual relationships. This is why it's important at work that, you know, people complain about these things all the time, about these sensitivity things and everything else, but it's really important to create a sexuality-free environment at work. Because women need to go to be able to go to work and not get hit on, and to be able to have their work stand for what it is and not other stuff. It's really important for everyone to feel safe. It's important to feel safe at church. It's important to feel safe when you're going anywhere. A woman should be able to go anywhere without having that happen to her. Oh, what's wrong? A little cat call once in a while. Yeah, it diminishes her dignity. Talk to her as a real person. How we relate to one another, how we respect one another. Because the truth is, the Bible says that God created us in His image, male and female, He created them. So men and women are not just equally valuable, they're infinitely valuable because we're made in the image of God. And you don't sin against the image of God. So having healthy, non-sexualized relationships is really key. Be able to work with people of the other sex, to be able to team up with people, to be able to do things, to have neighbors and relationships like that, and friendly stuff. Couples getting together, whatever. Friend, it's so important. Sexuality belongs in courtship on its way to a publicly committed marriage, which puts together a family. Folks, I hate to break it to you, biologically, sex can create babies. That's kind of one of the main reasons for it. That's how it works. And when you create babies, you've got a what? You've got a family. You've got a family. And they need stability growing up. And the more stability they have, the less chaos they deal with. So we need to preserve the family. And we need to keep relationships outside of marriage non-sexualized. Now, if you're single, you can invite someone into a courtship, and that's a whole other thing. But it has to be inviting and not dragging. And it has to be respectful. It has to be something where people are respectful all the way around. So some practicalities. Men, take responsibility for your risky gifting. Men are stronger, 40% stronger upper body strength, all that stuff. Physically stronger and more sexually aggressive in general. And it's something which God gave us to keep the human race going and to help form families. But it needs to be handled and kept in check. And you need to save it for a wife in a publicly committed marriage. Necessary for the survival of species, but like a fire, can be a very dangerous thing. And this is a guy thing. We need to pay attention to this. King David let this get out of control. But King David got it under control. If you read Psalm 51, he confessed his sins and went on to write lots of psalms. Here's a big fancy word for you, big Latin word, sublimation. Not all sexual drive should be acted out. Sexual energy or libido can be put into art, can be put into music, can be put into building things, can be put into all kinds of stuff. Male sexual energy can be channeled into creativity. Who wrote some of the best psalms after this happened with David? David. He wrote one of the greatest poets of all time. And he channeled that aggression and obvious over-the-top sex drive into some more creative things. So guys, it's not a matter of shutting it down. It's a matter of channeling it into something good. Channeling it into something helpful. Go build something. Go do something. Go start a farm. Go do something with that energy. Why do we put teenage boys in football? For the same reason, just to wear them out. Just to put their energy into something so that they don't just cause trouble and break stuff. That's how we are. We men need to take responsibility for our sexuality. And we also need to treat women non-sexually. Married women for men are a no-fly zone, just period. Just a no-fly zone. You can work with them, you can be great friends with them, neighbors with them, everything else, but sexually, no. Don't even go there. Don't even think there. Jesus says, don't even think those thoughts about married women. Don't even think that. Because thinking can lead to action. Don't do it. Protect marriage and the family as sacred. It's hard enough to hold a family together, folks. The best families in this church have a hard time with it. It's just tough. It's tough to keep a marriage going. It's tough to raise kids in this culture, this chaotic culture. It's tough to do a lot of things. And we need to help other people keep their families together as best we can. Confess and make amends. That's common sense. Eliminate the core problem and work toward purity from there. What I mean by that is the tip of the iceberg here is men having sex with married women, like that cartoon. Start there. That's no-fly zone, period. Don't even think about that. And then work towards sexual purity from there. Work your way out. Start with the big problem and work towards the smaller stuff. Don't focus on the little stuff and miss the big stuff. Respect others by desexualizing relationships. And this is especially true at work or in public or at church or anywhere else. By having great collegial and friendship relationships with people that aren't flirty, it really doesn't belong there. Flirting is great, but it belongs in courtship. And it belongs in marriage. It doesn't belong in the workplace. It's not a good place for that. We're finally catching up to that. Invite the worship team up here. I'm going to close with a Bible passage, which I blush when I read it, but it's pretty good. Proverbs 5, 18 through 20. Once again, this is written towards men. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you be ever intoxicated with her love. And here's the important part. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? And there's another thing in Proverbs that says, he who commits adultery is a fool. A fool to himself. A fool to everyone. Breaking up a family, causing all of this trouble just for that? That's not what this is about. So as we fight chaos with the Ten Commandments, next week, we're going to talk about thou shalt not steal, how we protect the property of others, how we help other people to make a living, how we respect things. In Japan, I am told that at construction sites, I'm just told this, you've been there, maybe you can let me know if it's true, people can leave power tools on the sidewalk in the big city and come back the next day and they'll still be there. That's a good thing. It's a really good thing, and we can work towards that. We're going to talk about that next week. Who thinks there'd be less chaos in our society if we didn't have to lock everything down and nail everything down? So God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have a sense of calmness in our lives. He wants us to have great relationships. That's why he says, don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Those things, it gives us a way of battling the chaos and having a life which cruises along the way God wants us to do it. Let's pray. I'm going to have you stay seated, because Jen's got some special music here she wants to share with you. Let's pray. Lord, we just give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of sexuality, which you give to us to help bond couples, to raise families. And Lord, most everybody in this world at some point is broken sexually. But your plan A is for that to be in a covenant relationship that's public and a promise is made in front of other people. Because it can be so dangerous outside of that. So Lord, we pray for families. We pray for marriages. We give you thanks for the faithful marriages here in this church. And we pray, Lord, that we as men would model to younger men and teen boys, how to channel this drive into healthy directions. And that we would push back on all the chaos out there that's out there sexually. And Lord, that we would be able to focus those drives you gave us in positive directions. As I say, there's a lot of chaos out there. There's even phones going off. Someone ever grab that? And Lord, we give you thanks for that little illustration. how you give us these 10 words, these 10 commandments, to push back on the chaos so that we can have shalom, we can have peace. We want peaceful relationships, peaceful workplaces, peaceful neighborhoods. I pray, Lord, for those great male-female friendships that have no sexuality in them whatsoever. They're a real blessing. Because men can learn a lot from women, and women can learn a lot from men. We give you thanks for those work teams that are made up of men and women, Lord. We pray for respect in those places. And we give you thanks most of all, Lord, for giving us this tool to live our lives in a way that honors you. Because we can't abide in you, Lord, if we're just facing chaos all the time. So we pray, Lord, that we would just trust, follow you, and our lives would become more and more ordered, more and more direction, more and more sense of purpose. Lord, sometimes we don't feel a sense of purpose because of all the chaos. We're going in so many different directions at once. So we pray that we abide in your will and you guide us in the paths of your truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.